My name is Garland Robinson. Will most people suffer eternally in hell? When this question is asked in a mixed group, you'll have all kinds of answers. Something like, well, I think hell is here on earth. I believe hell is the grave. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in hell. Or somebody asks, is hell really hot? Do you really think a God of love will send a person to hell? Or we're all trying to go to the same place. I think the vast majority of mankind will be raised to spend eternity on a paradise earth. Well, these are all thoughts and ideas of men, but none of them are what the Bible teaches. So let's take a few moments to look at some very important questions on the subject of hell. Questions like, is hell real? Where did the doctrine of hell originate? Did Jesus go to hell? Does man exist after death? Will God punish the lost forever? How can one escape hell? Well, let's first look at the doctrine of hell. Where did it come from? Many people believe in heaven, and they'll let you know right quick that they plan and expect to be there. Yet many of those same people seem to pretend that the word hell is not even found in the Bible. In actuality, there are three Greek words translated hell in the King James Version of the Bible. There's the word Hades, and according to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, on page 187, it says, the region of departed spirits of the lost, but including the blessed dead. Hades never denotes the grave, nor is it the permanent region of the lost. Hades is the realm of the unseen, the place where the dead go, awaiting judgment, both the righteous and the wicked. In the account of the rich man and Lazarus found in Luke chapter 16, the word Hades is found in verse 23. It reads, in hell, and the word there is Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It's evident from that verse that Hades is not the grave. One may say, well, is this not a parable? Well, if it is, then Abraham, Moses, and Lazarus become storybook characters, don't they? But they're not. They are factual individuals from Bible history. But this message from Christ clearly depicts the death of two individuals. Anyway, what does a parable teach? It teaches the truth. If we try to say, well, this is a parable, what are we saying? That it don't teach what it teaches? It don't mean what it means? Are we saying that it's made up? We can't trust it? Well, certainly not. It is Scripture. It is the Bible. It's not a parable, though. Verse 22 and 23 of Luke 16 say, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, that is the word Hades, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Here the rich man even became concerned about his five brothers back on earth, according to verse 28. No one will ever convince the rich man that Hades is the grave. It's not. It's the place of departed spirits. It is a waiting place where people go when they die, awaiting the final judgment. Then another question. Did Jesus go to hell? In Acts chapter 2, verse 27, and again in verse 31, Luke tells us that Jesus' body did not see corruption, nor was his soul left in hell. The word Hades. Many have reasoned that Hades can't be hot because Jesus went there. In Luke 16:26, God teaches that the Hadean realm holds the spirits of both the just and the unjust, and that a great gulf, a great chasm, separates the two. Jesus went to the same place Abraham, Lazarus, and the thief on the cross went. He went to paradise, according to Luke 23:43. Paradise is that part of Hades to which the righteous go. Now, a third question. Does man exist after death? Many religious groups, especially the cults, teach that man ceases to exist when he dies. That's why they deny that Jesus raised himself from the dead as he said he would in John 2:19. To admit that his spirit existed after he died would be to admit the story of the rich man and Lazarus is a factual historical account. These groups, they're not willing to do that. They're not the first to teach that man has no spirit. Well, the Sadducees during the Lord's day didn't believe that man had a spirit, nor did they believe in a resurrection from the dead. The second word from which hell is translated is the word Tartarus. Vine's dictionary on page 213 defines the word as neither Sheol nor Hades, but refers it to the place where those angels whose special sin is referred to in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. The word Sheol is the Hebrew equivalent of Hades, the Greek word, in the New Testament. They are confined, that is, in this place after death. They are confined to be reserved unto judgment. Here the Bible reveals that the angels that sinned in heaven will never have the opportunity to repent as man does. Once man dies, he also loses his opportunity to repent. According to Hebrews 9 in verse 27, it said that there's appointed unto man one time to die, and then after this, the judgment. Tartarus, like paradise, is not hell, but rather located in the realm of the unseen, the place where the dead go, and that place is known as Hades. And then there's a third Greek word that's translated hell in the King James. It's the word Gehenna. In Barry's Greek English New Testament lexicon, it's defined as the place of the punishment in the future. Jesus said, Mark chapter 9, verse 43 and 44, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Notice the word worm is in the singular and follows the possessive pronoun there. That is their worm. This is made with reference to the whole of man who is going to be tormented. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. The phrase "dieth not" gives the duration of the period of torment. It is forever because they don't die. Note God's description of hell in Revelation 14 and verse 10 and 11. "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark in his name." Now that is hell, that place that burns. And it'll burn forever. So that leads us to our next question. Will God punish the lost forever? When Paul wrote the book of Romans, we read in chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 and reading through the end of the chapter, that he made it clear that man departed from God to indulge in sin. Hell was not created for man. It was created for the wicked angels, Matthew 25:41. Man is given a choice, though. He's given a choice as a free moral agent to suffer punishment in hell or to accept the free gift of salvation from God through his faithful obedience to God's commands. God has provided an atonement, a way of redemption for sinful man, and that is through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The Lord does not want anyone to perish, but desires that all would come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Man does not earn or deserve to be in heaven, but because the Father wants sons and daughters, he's provided a way through his Son. Did you know that God really loves sinners? Jesus, from the foundation of the world, was ready and willing to come to this world and live a perfect life, showing us what God demands and providing a means of escape for us. providing that which was necessary for the forgiveness of our sins, so that when people would believe in Him, submit their will to God's will, and so live according to His Word, they might have forgiveness. Now, that brings us to the next question. How can one escape hell? When one believes that Jesus died for his sins, was buried, and rose the third day from the dead, the Lord asked him to repent. That is, to turn from sin and truly desire to let the Savior rule your life. When one believes the gospel, God asks you to obey the gospel. In fact, he points out that those who obey not the gospel will be punished in an eternal hell. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Well, how does one obey the death, burial, and resurrection? Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 to 6 how one symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection by immersion in water. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now knowing this, in verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That is, when one obeys the gospel, they do so by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins, which means to turn around from them, change your thinking and attitude about it, confessing faith in Christ, being immersed into water, where there one meets the blood of Christ that washes sins away. Now, do you have the assurance that when you die, you will escape hell? Yes, most assuredly, because that is the plan of God. How then is that accomplished? Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Don't you want to be among that few? You can, if you will humble yourself, put away your own stubborn will, turn to God in humble obedience, which involves believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, changing your attitude, your mind about sin, turning your life around, confessing His sweet name, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and being immersed into water for the forgiveness of sins, you can be raised to walk a new life, a Christian life, and so live to be able to go to heaven when you die. Won't you do that? My name is Garland Robinson.